She's sweet. She's beautiful. Yeah, there she is. Yes. And so I am so excited to hear you this morning. There you go.
Wow. Awesome. So, dude, that was such great worship. An armadillo could preach this morning and would sound anointed. Thank you. Thank you. But you're not getting an armadillo. You're getting a Jewish guy from New York. So I really want to get you out of here before 3 o'clock so we can see the highlights of the Titan game. So work with me, all right? So I just want to tell you a little bit about me so you know the fountain that it's coming from. I'm going to do that. And I just want to say first, before we even pray, I love, Rob and I are out of our minds pinching ourselves about this church. You'll probably know more about me over the course of time if you check into the intel, but our hearts have been tied to worship for many, many decades. And there's a purpose why we're here. There's a purpose for Nashville. There's a purpose for prophetic worship and the times in which we're living. There's some critical components that are all coming together. I'll speak a little bit of it now, you know, this morning, but I just got to tell you, we're out of our minds to be here. We're so blessed, humbled, honored. Thank you for the roots. The more we dig in and understand the people who labored over the many days, weeks, months, decades in different places of the country, that we can have an atmosphere like this. This doesn't happen automatically. The price has been paid this far. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I love this place. I love the rain. We're crazy over rain. We spent 47 years in California. When our neighbors here in Franklin go out on their front porch to watch Robin and I on our front porch when it rains, because we're like little happy idiots, okay? And about the rain, one thing I want to say about the rain, and this is another story for another day, but there's a scripture that's very prophetic in Zechariah, and it says, Shalumei Adonai matar ba'et malkosh. So you don't know Hebrew, and I don't either. I sound like I do. But you never heard the same syllable twice, because there's two words for rain. It says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. It has to do with an outpouring of the presence of God. It's not simply crops, but it has to do with a prophetic harvest and the anointing of Issachar to know what time it is. And I have it on my ring. I'll tell you the story someday. But look, it's pouring today. Yeah, God. So we bless you in this place, Lord. This is your house, God. We're so humbled by that, God. We love you desperately, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here, moving already in our midst. You come when you're welcomed, and you've been welcomed in this place, God, truly. And we bless you. We honor you. We submit to you. We ask you, God, that you would pour your Spirit out. God, there would be anointing, there would be illumination, there would be ignition, there would be conviction for sin if necessary, there would be healing, there would be purpose, there would be alignment, God, there would be clarity, there would be resolve, God, that you would move the way you want to move in each and every one of us. God, you are a good Jewish businessman, and you invest wisely, and nobody's here by mistake. And so we ask you, God, that each person here would understand why you called them here for such a time as this. We ask you to open your word, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go watch the Titans. We're done. Okay. So Dustin asked me to speak on fear and awe. I'm a toy inventor. I just want you to know. You could Google me if you want. You probably will. But I'm just saying. I'm a toy. I do goofy things. I'm on the floor playing with push ducks and silly stuff. And the last 10 or 15 years, I've been teaching on the conclusion of the age. It's not a joke. It's not funny. And yet, at the same time, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. It doesn't say until the clock starts ticking down, until the world is terrorizing us, until we're distracted by threats and madness on earth. The whole story is in the book so that we might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, okay? But be of good cheer, because the one who knows us, whose presence is in the room, he's already overcome the world. It doesn't mean we don't have to go through a whole lot of stuff, prior to him getting here, but we're good to go. We're going to be really good to go. All right? So we're going to be speaking on fear. And Lord, I ask for an anointing for them to hear faster this morning, God. I ask you that you got, you know, Lord, you know that those programs on podcasts, you could speed them up to 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Lord, I ask you for that anointing today, Lord. Thank you. All right. Amen. So how my wife and I got here. So it's blame Nat. I met Nat at Phil Galara's studio in Franklin for like 5 minutes. And then Nat calls Phil and Sandy. We've known Phil and Sandy from California for 25 years and tells them about Hope You See. Phil and Sandy come down here. They tell us there's live worship. We are worship junkies, my wife and I. Neither one of us can sing 3 consecutive notes, but we get worship, okay? And we've been surrounded by worship people our whole lives. And so we come down to the bunny farm, and here we are, happy as can be. All right, so thank you, Nat, Phil, all those people, okay? So I'm going to be talking about worship this morning because it has to, it's a massive component in the conclusion of the age. Massive. And the Lord has to get the performance out, and he has to get the spirit in. And it's going to be a burning work, but we're going to be good in it. As long as we keep saying yes. And I think of the freedom you're speaking of. You know, Paul said we're bound by our own affections. Typically, the things that bind us up are the things that we're worshiping instead of the one we're supposed to worship. Just saying, this stuff in my life, I'm not perfected, trust me, okay? Slide 1, as you can see, there it is. Okay, so as you can see, my wife hasn't changed that much. We can leave it there, okay? It just so happens, okay, she hasn't changed much. People look at us and go, oh, Robin, you haven't changed much in 48 years. And then they look at me and they go, oh. So I've somehow, the rabbi gave me the name Eliyahu, which means Elijah, which is really cool. And he was a hairy man. And then somehow I got Elisha's head. So I don't know what to tell you there, but what can I tell you? All right. So we were in an amazing revival. We got saved during the hippie years. We saw massive deliverances, demonized people set free. We had people at our church that came out of Topanga Canyon and witchcraft and darkness. We saw deliverances. We had people run through church naked. We had people with a middle finger in the air and 20 minutes later praying in tongues. So we haven't seen it all. Okay, but we saw some amazing stuff. We also saw pastor suicide. We saw scandal. We saw adultery. We saw front page news on our church and all the nonsense. There were no elders. There was nobody. There were older people, but they weren't elders. We had olders. We had olders. Why aren't the girls wearing bras? Why aren't the guys cutting their hair? How come this is happening? And our pastor, who wore a suit and tie, understood the movement of God in the early 70s. And he said, this is Jesus. And so, you know what? By God's grace, you don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be spun. You don't have to hurt the church. You don't or hate the church. And the whole storyline, quite frankly, is, yeah, Jesus is perfect and the church isn't. Now get over it. Now get over it, lay it down so you can get healed. That's where your freedom is. The ones who are here are not because they didn't get offended, it's that they didn't hold on to the offense, all right? So we've had plenty of opportunities to get discouraged. Plenty, just like you. And if you haven't been offended yet in church, see me later. If the message doesn't do it, I promise you, I can say something that'll offend you. That's biblical. It's actually biblical, okay? All right, so the concept of the church will be, you know, the bride makes herself ready. Isn't that cool? The bride makes herself ready. You know, you ever go for marriage counseling and this is going to be a compatible marriage. It's going to be a compatible, you know how far we have to go? I assure you, Jesus is not coming back today. Just look at the church. She's not ready. We're here to get ready. And Lord, when we say your will be done, what do you think he's going to be doing? He's going to do his will. So we're invited to align with that. Okay, Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give, oh, thank you guys, gals, Desiree. I sent her these notes at 9 o'clock this morning. So if they look teeny, I'm trying to figure out your program here. Thank you. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. She makes herself ready. He helps a whole bunch, but she makes herself ready. So that's just, that's where we're called to be. And it's evident we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Okay, every jot and tittle of the word is going to be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle. So we could jump forward to like the perfect days and all these, you know, the happy verses, and there are many of them, and I cling to them, and I understand the eternal value of all, the potency of the whole word of God. But at the same time, there's stuff we have to go through according to the time frames of Scripture. They're unnegotiables. They're unnegotiables. I believe in the last times on earth, as things get tough, we're going to be hearing people binding in Jesus' name what Jesus is doing. Because they can't imagine he's doing it, but it is written in the book. I didn't meet Jesus reading my Bible. Robin and I came into a service on drugs, another night of 8 solid years of investment in my life. And we ended up in the middle of a Holy Ghost wedding, in the middle of a Holy Ghost service with testimonies and a message and an hour altar call, just weeping over the presence of God. Going home, flushing our drugs down the toilet, things changed. One day, one night, one prayer. God's still doing that. Okay, so like if your situation is progressive, if you've been saved over a period of time, you were born in Zion, your parents were praying, God bless you. I'm just saying, I didn't get saved reading my Bible. We know people actually who did get saved reading the Bibles. I didn't. But I have to tell you, this crazy lunatic church that we got saved in, we were all over the map. And one day I'm holding my new Bible with the gold edge, and I'm listening to a message that didn't align with the message I heard the night before, but they were two really great people who I loved. And I'm thinking, just in a reading comprehension class, these two messages couldn't coexist. And I'm thinking, where do I go from here? And the Lord literally lit the book up and said, this is truth. This is truth. The whole enchilada, the whole book, Echad, God is Echad. The beginning of the prayer at the service is, you know, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad. Not just one, but complete, whole, incomparable, unnegotiable, standing apart, and the word is Echad. And it's quite frankly all or nothing. It's not a buffet. It's a cup. On a plate, you pick what you eat. You pick up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. If it's in the cup, it's yours. That's what happens when you say you will be done. You know what? It's actually really cool, though. Okay? So, I tried to minimize my Christian exposure for years because being 97% Jewish Middle Eastern, I felt like the Lord would have me in Israel, at least citizenship. And we're involved with a lot of ministries in Israel and all that stuff. And I got busted. A Mossad investigated me, and I could still come and go there. And if they happen to be listening this morning, you guys, it's Yeshua HaMashiach is your savior, and many of you will come to him. Stay tuned. But meanwhile, for years, I tried to minimize that. So I sort of scrub stuff off the internet, but it really comes down to the fact that, you know what, God's plan is going to be God's plan. No one's going to hold anybody back from doing the will of God. The only person that's going to get in the way of God's will for my life is me. The only control component in the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. It's not wife control, kid control, boss control, pastor control. It's you control. It's like, we got to get over that, okay? Now, here's the thing. I heard someone say once, if your walk is boring, it's because you're boring. Jesus isn't boring. He's not. Okay, we get the word magi. You like the word magi? Doesn't it sound like magic? Magician? Supernatural? Doesn't it sound like that? This is the magical mystery tour. It's discovering the will of God for your life. It's not his will for my life. Holiness is, you know, it's That's for everybody. There's globals. You know, we're told, don't be deceived. Without holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. Without holiness, you make your life more miserable. I always quote the great theologian Red Fox, who says, life is hard, and it's harder when you're stupid, but it's also harder when you're disobedient, when you're not in the Word, when you're not in prayer, when you're not holy, when you want to call sin grace. It's not going to work. It's going to be more evident now than ever that the safe place is. There's a scripture in Isaiah, but I didn't get to it because I already have too many notes. It says the fear of the Lord is their treasure. The fear of the Lord is our treasure. It's a good thing. We have to unlearn what fear is not, and we have to understand what fear is, and we have to embrace it. It's a happy place. It defies the concept of what the world has been telling us. And the Lord loves blowing our minds. Okay, so he's going to do that. It's the magical mystery tour. So here's the thing. Well, I'm going to skip this one, Desiree. Okay, let's start here. One of my favorite verses. There's a bunch of people here who are in. I do a podcast Saturday mornings. And if you're interested, if you turn to Ezekiel 37, that's where the dry bones are. Matt, if you go to the very last verse in the dry bones scriptures, it says, basically, they'll know that I am the Lord when my sanctuary is in her midst forever. Meaning the Jewish people and the world will finally get it, not until his sanctuary is situated in Jerusalem. That's Ezekiel 37:28. Okay, that's my secret website. So don't tell anybody, but that's it. Ezekiel 37:28. Okay, so now, Haggai 2:6-9. You guys who've heard me, you've heard it before, but I'm going to say it again. So the term Lord of Hosts is not, do you want to sit indoors or out? The host here is sometimes translated Lord Almighty. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh Tzivaot, which the word Tzivaot means commander of the armies, Yahweh of the armies, king of the universe and commander of the armies of heavens. It's God's warfare title. So when you see Lord of Hosts or God Almighty, it means brace yourself. I'm about to move. Thus says Yahweh Tzivaot, yet once more it's a little while, according to his calendar, I'll shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And here, I'll tell you why. I will shake all nations, all of them, all the goyim. I'll shake all the nations. I'll shake everybody in it. I'll even shake my saints in those nations. And they shall come to the hemda, to the desire of the nations. The desire of the nations is a man. That's the man who changed your life. They're going to come. Everybody's not going to come. It's always that remnant story, but we're going to see the greatest outpouring revival in these days, but it's going to be on God's terms, not on ours. And it's not a question of being relevant, relating to the world. In fact, in Ezekiel, he says to the Jewish people, he says, what's in your mind ain't going to happen. You're not going to be like the other nations. He says, I'm going to set you apart. Now, the rabbis, they think that you wear the fur hats in 99 degree weather in Jerusalem, and that sets you apart. You know it does. But that's not the set apart that he's called us to. That's not what he's called us to, he goes. And then he says here, I own it all. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. That's the stuff you're thinking you need to have to prove that I love you. And then he says, the glory of this latter temple, the last final temple, the Ezekiel 40 through 49 temple, when the Savior is sitting there, he says, shall be greater than the former. We are moving forward into glory, guys. We have a place to walk through right now where we need to learn to fear God, and we need to learn to not fear terrorism. I'm not just talking about Islam. If you want to study the Daniel teaching I did, there's a terrorist line of a lineage all the way back from Babylon. It goes all the way through. It runs all the way through. It's very clear. The whole story's clear if we care to dig into the story. But I'm saying there's a terrorizing happening on earth right now. It's why drug use is up, marriages are broken. It's why people are discouraged. It's why they're paralyzed and can't get off their couch. It's because the world's being terrorized. And the Lord's saying, lift up, lift up, lift up. Let me tell you the takeaway today. Lift up your eyes because your redemption draws near. We're to be lifting up. If we spend more time with our eyes above the waves and at the waves, we'd be doing much better, okay? So, you with me? Okay, here we go. I'll shake all nations. That means there's no place to run anymore. It used to be the hippies ran to Canada. It used to be Jewish people from Eastern Europe fled to New York City and had kids like me. It used to be most of you are not American Indians. Your folks, your grand folks, your grand grand folks came over here from someplace thinking this is a better deal. And the Lord's going, it's global now. He goes, the only place you can go is Hemda. The only place you could run to is Jesus. It actually simplifies things. Makes it a whole lot easier. So here are some game changers for, oh man, I'm doing well. Okay, so time, just time-wise, not what I'm saying. I'm probably all over the map. Just worried about finishing, that's all, okay. First, okay, so there was some game, I've been teaching for a long time. I'm addicted to the Word of God. You could ask my wife, she's really, I love her. She's my Bible study partner. I got the best wife on earth that I could ever have. The fact that we got saved at the same moment is insanity. It's almost like I either say he loves us because we're special, or he knows how bluntly dumb and blind both of us are, and we had to know instantly that we were meant for each other. I'm just saying, I got the best wife, okay? So, but we are in this, I love the Word of God. I'm obsessed with it. By his grace, I've not missed a day in 48 years. 47, 48 years now? Something, 40, I haven't missed a day because I'm addicted to it. It's easy when you're an addict. What was killing me was I was addicted to the wrong stuff. So the Lord doesn't rewire us, he just realigns us. So if you've been a fighter, a belligerent fighter your whole life, welcome to the kingdom of God. That whole story of dry bones, he didn't raise dry bones for a wedding. He raised them for a war. Read those. This is the sound of dry bones rattling and rising up. It's because there's a place he's calling us to now. There's totally a wedding. It's going to be buffo. It's going to be awesome. But we have to get to it. And we're not going to jump any. There's no shortcuts. These are verses that blew my mind that hopefully will blow yours. First Peter, the fisherman. Talking about the salvation of the New Testament. First Peter, there you go. Of this salvation the prophets, this is past perfect tense for you English majors, means long ago, have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Meaning Old Testament prophets, 30 pieces of silver, out of Egypt I've called my son. He had no earthly form or comeliness. All that's, they're writing and they're saying the Holy Spirit. Now when it says here, Spirit of Christ, I wish it said Spirit of Messiah, because its last name is not Jesus Christ. He wasn't Mr. Christ. It meant it's Greek for Messiah. Okay, so the Spirit of Messiah was on the Jewish prophets, and the Spirit is, and they're writing these things, and they're saying, here's what they're thinking. What? And what manner of time? What and when, Holy Spirit, who's in me right now, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow, meaning Jesus hadn't been born yet, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet, Jesus hasn't been resurrected, Jesus hadn't ascended yet. This is in the Old Testament, clearly the Old Testament. Then they're saying, what and when are these things? What are we talking about? Out of Egypt I've called, what earthly form of comeliness? What are we talking about here? And here's what the Holy Spirit said, just shut up and write. Just shut up and write. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. The Old Testament was written for us. Please forgive whoever lied to you and told you not to read the Old Testament. The battle plan is there. God purposely set it in there. If you want to do flybys and dive in and grab a verse and put it on the magnet, good, good. They're all good verses. But if you want to understand the battle plan of God, bury yourself in the Word of God. Smith Wigglesworth, the plumber who raised the dead, said, consume the Word of God till it consumes you. Till it consumes you, till it overtakes your weak, pitiful logic and your religiosity and your casual nature, and let's go to church and have a party. Yes. says, let's go to church and worship and lift up the only one. Let's fear the one who's only one worthy of fear. If we spend all of our fear tokens on Jesus, when the Doberman comes around, who lives three houses down, you'll have to say, Poochie, I am so sorry. I don't have any more fear tokens. Or if your boss wants you to compromise and lie and you might lose your job, you think, I don't have any more fear tokens. I spent them all on the only one worthy to fear. I'm out of fear tokens. That's what fear's for. Don't you love that? Hello? Okay, so to them it was revealed, Holy Spirit didn't really tell them to shut up, but this is what the Holy Spirit, he's much kinder than me, because the Holy Spirit's not from New York. From Brooklyn. The Holy Spirit is not from Brooklyn, okay? To them it was revealed that not to themselves, the Old Testament prophets, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering to things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things that the angels, they're blowing their minds when you get on your knees and the Lord speaks to you and they're going, did you hear what Tom just got from God? The angels want to hear what's available to you. We don't have to manufacture revelation. There's plenty to go around. Matthew, Jesus does a preemptive strike. There's very few do not thinks in scripture. I mean, can you imagine how many do nots you could do? I mean, seriously, you get goofy, but there's only a few do nots. Why did Jesus do a do not think verse? It's a preemptive strike against the satanic work. He says, don't think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. Don't do it. Most of the church thinks that. They think that God was medicated by the work on the cross. Now he's just sitting there happy. And we're getting ready for a wedding and he's sending out invitations. That's not the clear story of scripture. The Lord's on the warpath. We're living in a love story with a war in it. We're not living in a war with a love story in it. Okay? The story is a magnificent obsession with the one who loves us. We have to never forget. I have to never forget that because I got this thing that God's put on me, but I understand the love of God. It's the love of God that keeps. The first parachute wants to be the love of God. Why do you do things? Because I love God. Sometimes my parachute doesn't open because my heart's hard. Then I pull this other one, and it's the fear of God. I go, I am so glad I didn't hit the ground. I have a third parachute. It's called pride. I never want to stand up in front of an audience and have to repent. Sorry, that's just who I am. It's not supposed to be that way. Okay, you too. You know that too. Okay. So the word for awe in Hebrew is yar. Picture a pirate going, yar. Okay? So it's yar. Okay? And it did not or diminish when Jesus came. The conclusion of the whole story is the book of Revelation. In case anybody isn't familiar with their Bible, that's the last book. Okay, that's the New Testament. Okay, that's the wrap-up right before the credits roll, where it says, produced by, starring, written by, that, Jesus. Not Dustin, Elliot, not Moses. Not anybody. Jesus. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. And that was not written in Hebrew, but that would have basically been Yahweh Tzivaot. Yahweh Tzivaot. True and just are your ways. You're absolutely fair, O King of Saints. Here's a question. Who will not fear you? Last book of the Bible, and glorify your name. For you alone, you Achad, you alone are holy. That's why when we worship and we lift up the holiness of God, the presence comes in the room. Where's the word? Many churches, not here, bless this place. Many places are like, how do we get the people in? If you get God in, the people are going to come. If you aim at getting the people in, you have so missed the mark. That is such a low bar, okay? Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. Okay, why? How do we get to that place? For all nations, all the nations, all the Haggaiites, 2-6 nations. They'll come, people out of all the nations, the coat of many colors. They're going to come and worship before you. Why? For your judgments have been manifested. The book says, okay? So, David, You know, a lot of this has to do with the fact that there's trouble on earth. There's a lot of wickedness stirring. And we're told in Scripture clearly there's going to be a lot of wickedness. These are going to be the most troubling days. Jesus in Matthew 24 quoted the angel in the book of Daniel about the most troublesome days on earth. They're also the days of the greatest exploits. There are going to be days of shadow healings. There's going to be days of outpouring, like in Joel 2 and Acts 2. We are going to see stuff that other generations of saints looked for longingly and saw drips and drabs. We're going to see the whole magnificent outpouring of the presence of God in these days. That's Shalom Adonai Matar Ba'et Malkosh. Ask the Lord for rain now. Ask him now. Say, God, if there's something in my life, if there's something holding back, I want what you want for my life. If you don't want what God wants for your life, you're the one missing out. And the people around you are missing out. But we can start this whole new thing, the whole freshness, the start now thing. God is inviting us into that. So David, who did not live a perfect life, I remember when I first started reading my Bible thinking, I'd listen, read something, it was goofy. I think, how could that be holy? And then after a while, I realized, oh, it wasn't holy. The book's about real people, just like you and me. Dumb things. There's dumb things in Scripture. If you were in the Gospels, they'd be writing dumb things about you, along with the good stuff. But they're just people. It's okay. But David probably was on his knees when he got the revelation of Psalm 36, and he says this. He probably was saying, God, what makes them tick? Now, if you're into Hebrew numerology, 6 is the number of man, 36 is the perfect number, or 666, but it's the spirit of man in its ugly magnificence, if you will. Psalm 36, an oracle, a wake up, a revelation that came into my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. What makes them tick, God? And the Lord says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear me. They don't fear me. So we don't preach it. We don't live it. We want to put it aside because maybe we were abused at church or by a father or a mother or a circumstance that was wicked and evil. And they're real. And seriously, I'm sorry. But that's not who God is. But when there's no fear of God, it's an open door to wickedness. There's no fear. Why? So what does he do when there's no fear of God? For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. God, who teaches sinners in the way, shows them that they have wickedness, and they're going, yeah, that's fine. I'm cool. Better than the guy next door. And then it gets worse. He devises wickedness on his bed. I skipped a verse here because there's so much here. He sets himself in a way that's not good. He does not abhor evil. We have to learn to hate evil. Don't play with evil. Hate it. I saw evil in my life. I saw some horrible things in my life. I was saying to someone recently, we were watching Forrest Gump years ago, and there was a scene in a bedroom, and it was violent. And I'm just watching Forrest Gump, man, like Tom Hanks, loved the guy, you know? And the scene had such a spirit of dark in it, and it touched my heart, and I just started crying. I thought, oh, God, that's what you took me out of. I saw dark, horrible stuff. I got videos that still play in my head I wish I didn't have. I'm grateful for a good testimony, but it was a horrible testimony. I have a friend who got decapitated. I've been involved in some bad things in my life, and I know if God could save me, he could save anybody. He could forgive anything you've done. He could forgive something you did today. That's how deep it runs. But he's calling us to the place of absolute surrender in these days because we need to be 100% him. We need 100% him. So what does David do? Verse 5, he goes, man, this is a dark place you showed me. I was asking for an oracle, and this got more oracular than I was hoping for. And what does he do in verse 5? He goes, I'm just going to worship. He goes, your mercy, Lord, reaches to the heavens. He starts worshiping. That's where he birthed that song out of a revelation of wickedness, thinking, wait a minute, God, if it wasn't for your mercy, I'd be in that group. Because David knew his own heart. That is the God we're serving, who's amazing. And there's a demonic campaign to eliminate the fear of God in church. Don't go there. Okay, so In Isaiah, there's a portion of scripture, depending upon when you think the rapture happens, and I won't go there because I want to speak again here, but Okay. Hey, where'd he go? How come the mic? No, that's goofy. Anyway, all right, now you know where I'm at. Okay, so there's a portion of scripture referred to as the Isaiah Apocalypse. Isaiah, who is one of the prophets that is referred to, logistically in 1 Peter, is writing this work, and he's foreseeing the Babylonian captivity, which is a massive study, spectacular. But he's seeing the trouble that's going to happen, but all of it will not get fulfilled when Sennacherib comes into Jerusalem. It just won't happen. So that means there's lots of jots and tittles waiting to happen because Jesus said, it's all going to happen. So I always say, like, if you have something and you know on earth and you've studied diligently and prayerfully and even historically, and it hasn't happened, and you have a paper Bible, you can write H-H-Y next to that verse, meaning hasn't happened yet, and you can wait for it, okay? So, for the Lord will rise up as Mount Perazim. Perazim is another wonderful story. I am in Hebrew has to do with plural. It has to do with breakthrough and break-ins. Our God is the God of breakthroughs and break-ins. He's the Jehovah interrupter, okay? He's all about that. For the Lord will rise up at Mount Perazim, where the Lord supernaturally delivered David, okay? He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, which was a wild victory for Joshua, that he may do his work, his awesome work, his Yar work. His Yar work. Now, if you think I'm misinterpreting this, look what happened in the Babylonian captivity. And if it all happened there, that was a Yar work. But there's more to occur on earth. It's going to be an awesome work. And bring to pass his unusual act. Here's what Peter told us not to do in his epistle. Now, therefore, do not be mockers. They're going to come in the last day saying, ain't happening. It had happened. It partially happened. God changed his mind. Enough people had prayer meetings and proved to God there was a better way. Lest your bonds be made strong. For I've heard from, look who he is, Lord God of hosts, a destruction determined even upon all of Israel. No kol edetz. Global. Because there's going to be some stuff that has to occur on earth. And when the Lord has called us in these days, he's called us to equip us to the people of the greatest exploits the world has ever seen. He's put us in this adventure now for this purpose, so that we could be surrendered to the Spirit of God and move according to the Holy Spirit revelation and do the great works that, quite frankly, many of them the world's never seen, okay? So there's a law of first appearance in Hebrew. It's sort of a study thing. The word Yar, first time in scripture, shows up as a freight, and it's actually in the book of Genesis, so pretty early. So Adam said to God, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was Yar. I'd sinned, and I was afraid. I was in awe of the God who's full of awe, and I hid. Nothing ever comes out of that. That's good. All right, so Jesus assured us and warned us that every punctuation mark in the law and the prophets has to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled, and it's unnegotiable. The word law there, by the way, that is used by Jesus was also used by Paul. It's Greek, it's nomos. Paul used it to explain tongues as an invasion of heaven onto earth, and we want to put that in the back room. And that ain't the way it's supposed to be, because we don't want to offend people, so let's offend God if we have to. Sorry, but there's things going to happen on earth as the world is groaning, waiting for a revelation of the sons of God, and those are the ones who don't know, they don't have words to pray as they ought, but the Holy Spirit knows. There are times when I know my Bible, I don't know what to say. I could ikayadabashando. And my Holy Spirit knows what to say, and he can pray for me, through me, with words that cannot be uttered. There's stuff you read on the news, you think, who's the bad guy? Lord, tell me, is it this country or that country? Is it this party or that party? And the Lord says, just pray. There are times when we're going to get to those places where if you're not praying in tongues, that you're going to be crying out, saying, God, I need a language that surpasses my ability to speak English, Spanish, whatever your program is. God's calling us to be the Spirit-led sons of God. So, Isaiah 14, 24, the Lord of hosts, again, oh my goodness, has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, it shall come to pass. Does that sound like it's negotiable? No. As I purpose, it shall stand. So it shall stand. What am I going to do? Now, Assyria and Babylon and Sodom and Egypt and Gog, they're nicknames for the satanic gypsy empire that sweeps across the world looking for a place that it's invited. It has no resting place because there's no rest for the wicked. So with different seasons and different times throughout history, this thing has shifted. Hitler actually went and took the throne of Satan and assembled it in Germany before World War II. It's there now in a museum. I'll break the Assyrian in my land, not just the Assyrian, but the Assyrian. And on my mountains, tread him underfoot. It aligns with who he's calling in. Then at that time, his yoke shall be removed from them, my people, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the Kol Eretz, the whole earth. This world, there's no place to run, no place to hide, except Hemda. This is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations, for the Lord of hosts has purposed it. And who at church has the religious audacity to think he's going to diminish this, change it, or preach otherwise? Who will know it? Raise your hand. No, I'd rather fear God. His hand is stretched out. Who will turn it back? Is that cool? God wants to teach us how to fear him. He wants to heal us of the things that have been inflicted upon us many times. Religiosity, even good intent, but ignorance. God wants to heal us of those things because it's an army. That I had a friend who went into Vietnam and he had the worst teeth on the planet. And I remember before they did anything, they gave him all new teeth. He used to smile like this one time. I'm so embarrassed by his mouth. And I looked at him and he came back before he got deployed and he was fit. He was healthy. He had a new set of choppers. This army is not like the armies of Eastern Europe where people used to have to bring food for their soldier fathers and brothers or shoes, otherwise they had to walk in the snow barefoot. This is an army where God says, I will equip you for everything you need for the purposes I've assigned to you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to put on. Stop that. That's my job description. Your job description is righteousness. If we would start focusing more on that, the other stuff would come as we required it for his purposes. He is not a genie. I've never once had an encounter with the Lord when he said, did you rub my lamp? Not once. Not once, okay? Okay, the day of the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Peter tells us that. That's the New Testament. It hasn't changed. All sorts of stuff's going to burn up. It's going to be, things are going to be dissolved. He asks a question. How are you supposed to be living? What manner of persons ought you to be? That's a good question. Therefore, since these things will be dissolved, what kind of person? Look for, hasten the coming of the day. And then he says, all this stuff's going to happen. It's unnegotiable. I don't remember God asking for a vote. A consensus. This isn't a democracy. This is a perfectly holy king. We're serving a holy king. He's perfect in all of his ways. And he says, it's going to be a mess here. Nevertheless, we, the saints, according to his promise, which is thick and rich and also unnegotiable, we're looking for new heavens, a renewed heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what I'm looking for. So, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can end there, but we won't, because I got pages and pages of notes, and the people who've heard me teach before have said, oh, thank you that God keeps it fresh, but I've heard these words before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then it also tells us fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fake news started in the Garden of Eden. You can eat that. Come on, you can eat that. It's only matured. It's fake news. The scriptures, men wrote them. Yeah, they did. Anointed by Yeshua, the Messiah. This is our choice. This is like, remember, let's make a deal. Door one, door two. One door is like destruction and blasphemy and brimstone and hellish events and torment and misery and all this other stuff. And the other door is righteousness dwelling and eternally in the presence of a God who sent his son to die for you. And the world's going, door one. Everybody's going through door one. It's Isaiah 1. Come, let us reason together, though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. And then here, door one, if you're willing and obedient, oh, it's good stuff. If you're stubborn and rebellious, you're going to be devoured by the sword. Which door you want? Come on, door one, everybody's going through door one. That's why the chosen has the fish turning around, swimming the other direction. Because God's called you not to swim in the same direction looking different. He said, turn around. The concept of repent, you get repent? It's a turnaround. Penitentiary comes from thinking, penitence of how did I get here? When I get out, I'll be different. Not lift weights and get tattoos. Okay? Repent means I'm penitent and I'm turning. There's a turning work in repentance. There's a difference between being sorry and repenting. That's why Jesus started his ministry. Repent, Paul. Repent, Paul. John the Baptist. Repent. I was in New York 9/11. I ministered. I got to be there. It was a special week in my city, and it was an amazing week. And I heard about restore, repair, rebuild, but never repent. Ain't going to work without repentance, folks. So here's where we want to be. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. You want deliverance? Hang out in the right place. Have an experience. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord. Oh, yar the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who yar him. Yar. That's our pirate God. That's our swashbuckling, amazing God that who can stop the Lord Almighty. The young lions, the young bucks, the tough guys, the big dudes, they lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And then you get to that place of saying, okay, I get it. Fear God. That's Psalm 103. It's all about healing. Those who fear. And sometimes we want to live in sin and call down the blessings in the name of Jesus. And he says, I love you so much, I'm not moving. I'm waiting for you. Come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll teach you what it is, and I'll teach you what it isn't. And you could rest in that, that God is always good to his people. In Revelation and Ezekiel, before there was horrific works right from the throne of our King God, before there were some horrific works, God said, mark my people. Where's the word about 666 is? There's a mark in the book of Revelation on the people who are God's. I want that mark. We're marked. We're marked with a Holy Spirit seal of promise. There's a deposit in us. When we were worshiping earlier and we felt the mighty presence of God, he's marking you. You're already marked. You don't have to worry about another mark. No one's going to stick something in you and mark you and go, dang. I can't believe that happened. And God goes, dang, I can't believe they did that. I had so much faith in them. It's not that kind of gospel. Really, come on. And we can rest in this thing. And here's a bit of, oh, my goodness. We're getting close. Okay. I'm so happy. Okay. See, happy are the people who don't write too many notes either. So here's a story about worship. So The first time I took LSD, Mossad, the first time I took LSD was August 16, 1969, and I never made it to Woodstock. I was 5 miles away, and the story gets worse. But I had friends who were involved in the foundation of that, and it was supposed to be in Woodstock, New York, but the beatniks didn't want the dirty, rotten hippies in their community. So this guy, Max Yasker, remember going down to Yasker's farm? Okay, so Max used to bring his kids to a hotel that I worked at, and that's another dark story. But Max said, you could have this Woodstock festival on my farm. Now remember Joni Mitchell said, I'm gonna camp out on the land and get my soul free. Remember that? Don't watch, well, the movie's not bad really, but it was muddy, it was rainy, it was messy, it was sloppy. It was crazy. After I got saved, and God is very much, we're very much involved in worship and worship people and what God's doing in Nashville and why we're even here. But you know what the town that the Woodstock Festival was birthed in? Because I believe it's where God birthed Last Day's worship. Because he needed a living womb. And the church womb was dry and barren. And he says, I'm going to birth it out of a living, vibrant womb. He hates sin, but he's never intimidated by it. And something has happened in worship since then. Max Yasker's farm is in Bethel, New York. House of God, New York. Beth Elohim. Because something, there's a component of worship. Remember the storyline? God says, God's looking for those who worship in spirit and truth, and Satan is a liar who's never said anything true. So he goes and he's like the used car salesman to Jesus. And he goes, hey, I got all this. I'll give you this if you fall down and worship me. It's not his to give. He has is what we've given over to him. But the reality is it's all about worship. And there's a supernatural component of the prophetic airstrike that has to involve worship. And that's why we're here. And we have to learn it. We're getting there. We're not there, but we're getting there. Isaiah 30, you shall have a song, verse 29, you shall have a song in, as in the night when a holy festival is kept, a happy event, and gladness of heart when as one goes with a flute. That is not a musical weapon, an instrument of warfare. Drums and shofars represent prophetic weapons of musical warfare. The flute is worship. You're going to be like you're going to a festival with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And what's happening at the same time? The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and show the descent of his arm. And here's some yar off for you with the indignation of his anger, because that's going to be the storyline on earth as the nations rage per Psalm 2. With the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempests and hailstones. And it goes on. And he says in verse 32, in every place where the staff of punishment passes. So we have this divine dichotomy occurring here. We have the saints worshiping, thinking our God reigns. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha. What happens when God says to move? And our God comes in power and in glory per both testaments. And meanwhile, in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps. They were not prophetic instruments of warfare. They're prophetic instruments of worship. There's something that occurs in the heavenly realm when the redeemed of God are standing before him holy, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Is that spectacular? So, okay, I did that. Oh, man, all right, here we go. So, we're postured in these days, and I don't have it all wired, trust me, I can't give you dates, times. I don't have a dartboard that looks like a calendar. I'm simply saying the trend is confirming the word of God in these days. And quite frankly, I could meet my Armageddon on my next bike ride. So I'm just saying, we just want to be ready for the for God. So whether it's our lifetime or our kids' lifetime, there's a whole lot of things that are pointing to where we are in the ticking clock of God. It's part of the Issachar anointing that God has called all of us to. We have a sensitivity. The bird sang, time for every purpose under heaven. There's times to understand the timing that we're in, and we're in some wild and crazy times. And here's what, oh man, thank you, Jesus. Here's what, how'd I do, Rob? Okay, because I have to, you know, I have to answer to her. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Okay. I have a Jewish believer friend who has a Gentile wife, and he refers to her as his GPS, his Gentile pointing system. Okay. Okay, Luke 21. Here's Jesus, red letters. He spoke in red letters, you know that. If they were like word balloons, everybody else had black letters, and then Jesus spoke, there were red letters, okay? There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, meaning meteorological things, and on the earth, the stress of nations. I can't imagine that. And perplexity, I can't imagine that. The sea and the waves roaring, I can't imagine that, especially since season times often refers to as nations of people. Men's hearts failing them from fear, I can't imagine that, and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth. Sounds like now. If there was a big pot and you were waiting for it to boil, and you turn the heat on, and you say, where are we now? I'd say, look, there's three bubbles. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth. Why? For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Just like Haggai. Jesus said that in the red letters. And it's not going to be a peaceful turnover of the nations to the one where the government will be on his shoulders. He's going to take care of it all. All this nonsense, the craziness of don't talk politics, don't talk religion. You think it's all going to be on the shoulders of the Savior. What a relief. What a relief. Then they will see, at that time, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Nothing secret. Now, when these things begin to happen, and I would be inclined to say three bubbles is sufficient to realize we're starting to see things occur on earth. Freak out, no. Brace yourself, no. Go crazy, no. Be a fatalist and suck every bit of pleasure you can out of the world, no. Look up and lift up your eyes above the waves and stop focusing on what's going on. Focusing on the one who has the perfect plan, and it involves your redemption. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Jesus, you've already redeemed us. There's already a mark on us. Your presence is evident in our lives, and we bless you and thank you. We already have a debt that we can't pay, but you're not asking us to pay it. That's how good you are, God. And you know our weakness, you know our issues, you know our quirks, you know our funky doctrines, you know more than we almost wish you knew. We'd be looking for fig leaves, God. Instead, you just say, come up here, my son. Come up, my beloved. And you are calling us to a place, and you've gathered us, God, in this place, in these times, for these purposes. And God, we say yes to your will. We say yes to your purposes in our lives. God, that we'd not get in the way. God, we'd not try to dial it down, sand off the rough edges, speak different, teach different, go back to something that seemed more comfortable temporarily. We want the will of God. You told us how to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The unnegotiable will of God. You didn't give us beads to count how many times we said it. You said, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. We bind our wills to the altar today, God. And tomorrow we plan to do it again. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and on. And just like Buzz Lightyear, Jesus, infinity and beyond, God, we say, your will be done in our lives. Your will be done. Let us be jealous for your presence in our lives, God. Let us be jealous for that. It'll coordinate. It'll be purposeful. We'll be united. The people will know that we have love one for another, God, because you'd be pouring love on the people who are happy, who have made you Lord, don't just know you're Lord, but have made you Lord and enthroned you in our lives. And God, again, as I pray often, if this message was me, you'd delete it. If this message was you, God, it would stay in us forever. And we'd be transformed this day, God. Thank you for the people that are in this room. Thank you for the people hearing this message. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what you brought us through to get us to this place in our lives, God, where we could say amen. 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 Amen.